Say that word.
Pamplemousse.
Yeah, it's great.
It's
great. Just rolls off the tongue.
It's,
but you have to say it with like a Texas accent. With like, this isn't even Texas, but you have to say
I
it
can't wait for this accent.
No, you have to say it like pamplemousse.
I don't know what that accent is.
I don't know what it is either. It's just fun.
It's not French.
Don't think about it.
It's not a French accent.
Pamplemousse.
Okay.
Pamplemousse.
Country music is playing.
We're
back. Week 11. We're back. All the things we say at the beginning of these podcasts. And it's Fantasy Outliers, the podcast, brought to you by FantasyOutliers.com. This is Dave.
And this is Brother Dave.
Brother Dave.
I'm going to go with Brother Dave because I think Bro Dave sounds a little...
It's a little, yeah.
I don't want to be known.
A little tug
like
in the collar,
yeah.
Kind of like uncomfortable.
Yeah. It doesn't mean like Bro Dave. It means like Brother Dave. Like
right.
Bro Dave.
Yeah. And your Brother Dave. And you were gone
Not
last
like,
week being ordained,
hey,
as we all know, in the in the order of bearded men.
Yeah. Yeah. I was in, I was out in LA for work and I couldn't be on the pod. So my brother had the sub.
So what happened out in LA?
Nothing.
Nothing.
It was
nothing?
72 degrees and we stayed at a terrible hotel for 3 days.
What?
Yeah.
How did you go to LA and stay in a terrible hotel?
It was one of those things where you're there, you're looking it up online and you think it's going to be good and you get there and you realize it's like a motel, basically
12.
a motel 12.
Yeah. Motel 12.
Yeah. And I had to apologize to the younger guys that I was with because it was one of their first trips.
You were the trip dad?
I was one of the trip dads, but I was like... I was like, sorry, guys, this is usually not how it goes. But the saving grace was there was an awesome Indian restaurant within walking distance. We just crushed some of that.
That's
one
pretty
night.
Good.
Yeah. And then a great Chinese place down the street.
So you just took a tour of LA via various kinds of international cuisine.
Absolutely.
Which sounds pretty California.
Yeah, it was great.
Did I have I ever told you about my first business trip?
It was a long time ago. Okay, you probably did, but
I'm gonna give the really condensed version here.
Okay,
I had to travel to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
It was February actually, and I had to be at a printing facility for a big project that I was working on. We were about to print millions of copies of something. The client was there in Boston waiting for us to fly from Chicago. Snowstorm hit Chicago. We fly all the way to Boston. We're circling Boston. They turn the plane around and fly us back to Chicago because there was a blizzard. We run from O'Hare to Union Station in Chicago as fast as we can to get on an Amtrak.
What?
Sorry, I forgot to mention, the reason we had to fly back from Boston to Chicago is there was a blizzard and the entire Eastern Seaboard was shut down.
Okay.
So we flew back to Chicago. We ran from O'Hare to Union Station to get an Amtrak because there was no other way to get to the East Coast in time for the press check I was supposed to do in Boston. Like, literally.
How long does that take, though? That's going to take forever.
24 hours on a train. 24 hours on a train. In the snow. We get on this train at like 3 p.m., okay? 3 p.m. It's me and my boss at the time. Two bosses, basically. The senior designer I worked for and the partner that I worked for at the time, the firm that I was at. We get on the train. We start riding. The train runs out of blank. Didn't have any sleeper cars. So it was cold. No, it was cold. Not coal. There are no sleeper cars. So we had to sit in like the general area for a 24-hour train ride. They ran out of food and water on the train. We went 26 hours and only made it to Albany, New York. So we were so late for this client thing. The press check that we got off the train in Albany, New York, and basically walked from the train station in the snow still in Albany to downtown Albany or we tried to find a cab. Then we ended up to downtown Albany. We were trying to do this stuff. We found a car rental place finally and rented a car in Albany and drove from Albany to Boston. We were up for basically 40 hours straight. Then we went
immediately
to the press check and stayed awake for like another 15 hours.
That is horrible.
It was the most insane planes, trains, and automobiles thing. literally ever. And it was my first trip, so I kept looking at the older people on the trip being like, is this what business travel is?
Yeah, welcome to the working world, chump.
I thought it was like great restaurants and hotels and just like hanging out doing nothing. No, it's eating frozen White Castle on Amtrak and praying that you can fight someone over the last bag of M&Ms.
All right, my story is not so bad. We actually got to fly first class on the way back.
What?
Yeah, because it was cheaper than flying coach.
Outrageous.
Yeah, by like $100.
That's amazing.
Crazy. So, which is totally awesome.
All right, well, there's our little travel fun.
Yeah. I have to follow up on something from a couple weeks ago.
You do?
We were talking about the most irritating ways to lose in fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? And I was telling you about how I beat somebody with my kicker on Monday night. You were mentioning losing to your sister,
right,
or family in general is just super annoying.
Specifically your sister. Everybody else, probably family.
Yeah. So this, I immediately thought of some other ones.
Okay.
As soon as we stopped that pod, losing on a penalty that was a bad call.
Okay.
As in, like, your receiver should have caught a ball, but it was offensive pass interference,
right?
And it wasn't actually pass interference,
right?
Like any kind of bad call,
yep,
that is terrible.
Yep.
Or getting a fumble credited to the wrong person.
Yeah,
that happens sometimes.
That's not good.
No, that is not good. I think yours, which was defensive stat correction,
mm-hmm,
is one of the worst, but I think I have one that's a little bit better.
Okay.
When you lose because your quarterback kneels down to win the game in victory formation and you get -2 yards and you lose.
Yeah, -0.2.
Yeah.
Did that happen to you?
No, but something very close happened.
Oh.
No, that didn't happen, but I thought of that and I was like, that I've heard people complain about that before.
That's the worst.
That is I think maybe worse than defensive stat correction.
I mean, that is definitely the worst. I also just love how the gleam in your eye when you said victory formation to me. You were very excited to drop that football knowledge quarterback in victory formation, like he's Voltron or something.
It only happens when you're playing well, so.
Yeah, it only happens after you've defeated the Dark Lord.
Yeah, so, yeah. But it actually happened to me, not that, but I lost to my brother, Chris,
yep,
on Monday night because by 0.1 points, because the Carolina Panthers scored 2 points and
yeah,
they beat me.
Yeah, that's terrible.
Yeah.
That's
terrible. And I woke up the next day and
I was... You lost 0.1
points? Yeah.
That's bad.
It was a horrible week for both teams. We scored 79 points.
Yeah. Well done.
Yeah. And that was my good league too.
Wow.
So now I'm 8-2.
I lost in your good league as well, so I did not keep up with you. I went down to 7-3.
Yeah.
So I didn't tie you at 8-2 because I lost to my wife who beat me 161-83.
Nice.
161-83.
That's kind of hard to do in that league. That's a high score.
Yeah, high score. And she went and got a couple of great waiver wire picks based on maybe some of our advice.
I know what you're going to say.
I think we wrote about Robert Woods and Sterling Shepard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We definitely talked about Sterling Shepard a lot.
We've been tracking him, but also Robert Woods. I had him in 2 leagues.
Yep.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
37 points.
That's amazing.
Man, he basically won me a couple games just by himself.
Yep.
But, you know, he's been great, actually. Really consistent. He's, like, basically the number one receiver.
Yep.
And...
For our boy Jared Goff.
Yeah, I don't know what Sammy Watkins is doing, but it's not.
Sammy Watkins, who, by the way, little preview for our rankings, I believe didn't even make our top 50 or barely made our top 50 in wide receiver this week. So something to keep in mind, mm-hmm, folks. All right. So welcome to our week 11 preview episode. As you know, it's not just all about the stories here at Fantasy Outliers. We actually want to bring you the projections created by our proprietary math box algorithmic system machine computing device. I think that's a technical term. Chris ran these projections. They're getting better every week and things are getting more interesting for us to dive into every week. And so we're here to take you through the notable notes about our projections. You can find them on the internet in 2 different places. If you would like to see the ranks with our commentary, please go to ranks.fantasyoutliers.com. That will redirect you to our week 11 analysis. Every week, if you go to ranks.fantasyoutliers.com, you will get the latest version of our rankings plus analysis. If you are a real stat head spreadsheet person
nerd.
User.
Like the rest of us, actually.
Right. I wasn't going to color people with that word if I didn't have to, but okay. If you're a real stat geek and you want to see the uncut information in a spreadsheet form, you can access it in a Google Sheet, and that lives at projections.fantasyoutliers.com, and that will be there every week. The most updated sheet will be at that URL, so you can bookmark it. You can go there. It'll always be the most recent one that we have available to share with.
It starts with the current week and goes through the rest of the season.
Correct. Yep, that's where we're at. So, ready to dive into it?
Yeah.
This is the last week of byes.
Last week of byes. Yeah, only four teams.
Yep. And a couple of good teams on here. Carolina Panthers, there's definitely some players people have been using on there, including our friend Cam Newton, Mr. McCaffrey, the rookie who people don't know whether to play in standard scoring or not. Devin Funchess, our early waiver wire guy who's kind of been hanging around. And of course, their defense. We have the Colts with our friend T.Y., our Dave's favorite wide receiver in the NFL, T.Y. Hilton, who he hates and will never start. Frank Gore.
Never start. Father Time, Frank Gore.
Yeah, Father Time, Frank Gore. Popular tight end streamer, Jack Doyle. We have our messy boys in New York, the Jets.
Hey, surprisingly, you know, they're putting up some numbers.
Yeah,
but
definitely with Josh McCown, Robbie Anderson
too.
Forte in there for you. And the 49ers, we only have one name listed here, and that is Carlos Hyde, but I take exception to that. This is in the article that we're reading from, by the way, that Clay helped put together. We forgot my new favorite guy in fantasy, who I was going to pretend that I knew what his name is. His name is, he's the backup tight end in San Francisco who got me a touchdown last week when I started him.
Greg Kittle.
Kittle's injured. Yeah. So I started the backup. And he got me a touchdown last week and almost kept me in a really tight matchup. So sorry, buddy, I forgot your name.
But you know what? Last week, when Mathbox was ranking quarterbacks, the Week 10 rankings.
Mm-hmm. Garrett Celek, that's his name, by the way.
Great.
Yeah. You're my boy, Garrett Celek.
All right. What I was going to say is Mathbox Week 10 ranking nailed CJ Beathard's performance. I know this isn't relevant for anyone because whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's probably not going to start again, but
yep.
Garoppolo will take over for him.
We're guessing. Nobody knows, but we think so.
But I just want to point out, Mathbox had Beathard at number 12, and his actual was number 4.
Yeah.
I mean,
Chris and I talked about that for a long time on last week's podcast.
I just thought that was crazy. It also called Blake Bortles, too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So while we're talking about quarterbacks, why don't we start talking about quarterbacks?
All right, let's talk
Week 11
about
quarterback previews. So what do you think of the quarterbacks looking through the rankings this week?
I see a couple, you know, it's pretty chalk for some of them.
Yeah.
I was surprised at how high Alex Smith is ranked by Mathbox and actually in ECR.
Yeah.
He's been pretty good this year. He's also playing against the Giants, which are just crazy awful. Right.
That is our number one matchup for quarterbacks according to Mathbox metrics.
So I think that's what it is. It's him being pretty consistently good, and then also this matchup is just crazy. I mean, people are just crushing. Quarterbacks are just crushing the Giants. They've given up. So,
right.
So we have Alex Smith
at number 5 this week. He is above of note. He's above Tom Brady against Oakland, which is also not a bad matchup.
No.
I can understand people getting a little bit of heartburn starting Alex Smith over Tom Brady. I might go for it at this point. But
yeah.
I mean, it's not like Smith has been bad or fluky. He definitely has some real weapons on that team.
Yeah, for sure. But this is why I think it's one of the examples. And I think, you know, the two quarterbacks last week, like Bortles and Beathard, like this is part of the reason why having a computer do it is sometimes more useful.
Right.
Because they don't know if they're good players.
Yeah,
or
we
not.
Don't.
They're
don't.
Just they're strictly going by the it's strictly going by the numbers, and it's calling out these things that are, you know, well, everybody's crushing the Giants, so here you go.
Mathbox doesn't get seduced by Tom Brady's dreamy statistics and track record and eyes.
They Yes.
Not yet, anyway, because Tom Brady hasn't turned his gaze on Mathbox yet.
Yeah.
But it's coming. So anyway, look, I do think that I have one little situation from, you know, I know people hate it when we talk about our teams, but I do have one little situation involving Alex Smith that I think is interesting, which is I have a team where I have Kirk Cousins and Alex Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Our number four quarterback and our number five quarterback.
What are you going to do?
Kirk Cousins at New Orleans, supposedly the 12th worst matchup for quarterbacks versus
the
having,
New Orleans D is for real.
I agree. And I am starting Finally. Alex Smith without hesitation over Kirk Cousins this
week.
Just
because matchup.
Just because matchup, and just because I actually think Alex Smith is maybe going to do better the rest of the year.
Yeah, I can't really argue with that.
So, something to think about.
Russell Wilson still first.
Russell Wilson still first. Let's talk about it for 1 second. Russell Wilson first this week for us. I also just checked the scoring leaders for at least the PPR leagues that we are in. Russell Wilson is also the number one scoring quarterback right now.
Yeah, so Mathbox has got it.
Which, I will admit, I had a couple of weeks where I had some doubt. I mean, Russell Wilson put up some pretty lousy performances
at the beginning of
the
year when the line was horrible.
Yeah.
And they hadn't really figured out how they were going to play this year. But after that kind of solidified and they worked through it, he's been great.
Which is amazing to see happen.
His potential, every game he can blow it up.
Yep.
And he has a bunch of time. So, you know, that's one of those examples where I think Mathbox, you know, we were all, you know, I don't know if we would say we were skeptical at the beginning of the year, but we're kind of like, okay, that seems a little high, but
right.
It seems possible, and it has worked out that way.
So far,
yeah.
Not to cherry pick, because there's definitely things that aren't exactly the way that we projected
for later on,
including the fact that the number... number two and number three scoring quarterbacks are Carson Wentz and Alex Smith, both of whom were not really rated as draftable at the beginning of the year. It's pretty interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, moving on to kind of stuff that's more relevant to this week again. If you're looking for streaming options.
There's a couple.
Three players that I had in a row here. Philip Rivers, Eli Manning, Ben Roethlisberger. All at, they are ranked 11, 12, 13.
13, yeah.
For me, if I'm stuck in this bucket, I'm going to take a little look at Eli Manning because he is facing Kansas City. We just said Alex Smith has a great matchup. Kansas City also apparently gives up a lot of points to opposing quarterbacks, and so he's ranked with a pretty good matchup this week as well. He comes in at number 12.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about these because I like Rivers and Roethlisberger better than Manning, but Manning has by far the best matchup. So, I don't know. I'm stuck because I wanted to bait you guys on the podcast last week about Roethlisberger and how he statistically has not been very good. I mean, at week 10, he was the 24th best quarterback or something, and he hadn't scored more than 17.5 points. That was his high watermark for the season up until week 10.
Okay.
And he was against Indy, and everybody had him super high, and Mathbox had him at 18 or something like that. And he ended up doing basically, he did 17.9 points. So Mathbox had him not as high as he should have been, but, you know, I think everybody was kind of looking at that matchup and thinking that he was going to be Ben Roethlisberger
explode
of
or
old.
Something. Yeah.
He was going to explode. And statistically, it just wasn't there. This year is not what you think he should be.
Yeah.
And so that name value is just, it's not carrying forward as far as it should.
I definitely agree. I think that the main thing with him is just when you, in a week that Hat was really hurting as far as buys, which last week was, he just was like kind of a good guy to fill in all the people who actually didn't have Wentz and Smith last week because they were actually both on bye.
Yeah, but I would... I mean, you can take your pick of those three. Everybody's probably got their own opinion. I would actually much prefer two spots lower at 15, Jared Goff.
Yeah, me too. It's funny that this is still where Mathbox is because I feel like 3 or 4 weeks ago, you and I had a similar discussion about basically Eli versus Goff.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like quarterback 13 versus quarterback 17. And now here it is again. He's still two spots back coming out of Mathbox. I like him a little better than that, although he does have a tough matchup against Minnesota this week.
Yeah, but they've been good all year. And I think they're going to be fine. Minnesota's a very tough D, and it's tough against quarterbacks. But you know, ECR is actually expert consensus ranks is a little bit higher at 11. You know, if you have him, I would feel comfortable starting him.
Yeah, he's not a waiver wire. At this point, you're going to play him.
He's 80% owned or 75% owned or something, yeah. But I would feel comfortable starting him.
So the last name I have to talk about really quick is somebody you brought up already. That's Blake Bortles, who kind of delivered last week.
Yeah.
I actually like him again as a spot start this week because his matchup against Cleveland is very tasty,
very juicy.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Juicy?
That's not really a word.
Is that a combination of juicy and tasty?
Yeah. Juicy.
Okay.
All right.
I derailed you a little bit, but okay.
Well, I agree on the juiciness of Blake Bortles this week.
So juicy. Yeah. I can't wait to have that t-shirt.
And we should make those.
It's pretty good.
He's you know, not that much owned. I cannot speak tonight. He's like 20% owned or something.
Yeah, he's definitely in pick-upable kind of numbers.
But that is one of those things where it's like, we all know he's bad, but doesn't matter. If he's putting up points, it doesn't matter where they come from.
Yeah. I mean, he is one of those players that's like, he's never going to be your starter every week. But if you need somebody to fill in, let's say, for example, you've been riding Tyrod Taylor for a while, and all of a sudden the inexplicable fury with which he was benched and double benched this week, if your head is still spinning, then maybe Blake Bortles is a guy for you if there's not much else on the waiver wire. So quarterbacks.
I think that's it.
Basically, start Alex Smith. Think about Derek Carr. Probably still start Tom Brady. Streamers. That's what we got for you this week. So moving on to running backs here in week 11.
Let's do it.
Any overall thoughts about the position this week?
Overall thoughts? I didn't think there were too many surprises. I feel like Mathbox is getting pretty good at predicting what everyone else is thinking.
Well, I think maybe, yeah, there's less variance in general, so maybe Mathbox and the industry experts are starting to converge, sort of, right? Because there's a lot of data for Mathbox to look at now. There was before, but now there's a lot of data for the experts to look at too, so they're taking less kind of wild guesses.
It's surprising
guesses.
How close some of them are.
Some of it's starting to get...
We almost don't even need people.
a conference room at Microsoft somewhere lit up.
Yeah.
Well, like, right. I guess Uber maybe more so are the ones trying to get rid of people right now. But I had a similar feeling. I think that the thing I would point out here is that there are some cloudy running back situations.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of things that felt like good opportunities for other than what they talked about on the waiver wire pickup. Mm-hmm. Kind of podcast earlier, opportunities for you to go out and be sneaky about who to grab. So we're going to try to outline a few things for spot starts. Mostly, I think a lot of this is going to be talking about people that are owned that are surprisingly startable above other people that are owned. So something to keep in mind, running back is tight like it generally is at this time of the year. And so, you know, hoping that you're situated where you have some good options right now because there aren't many around.
You know what is really awesome, though?
What's that?
Both New Orleans Saints running backs in the top 10.
Still, again.
It's great. Well, you know, when Mark Ingram scores 3 touchdowns.
I know.
And what, Kamara.
Yeah, Kamara.
At 1, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of, they're just great.
Like, amazingly, Mathbox actually has Kamara above Ingram
which
in
I don't,
PPR.
I don't totally buy, but, you know.
It is what it is. They're within
Kamara's fifth and Ingram is 7th.
Yeah, they're projected to be within a third of a point of each other, so I wouldn't worry about it too much. Yeah, I do think that that's really funny. I think one person that we could talk about really quickly, too. Now, this is like boots on the ground analysis as opposed to anything else, like just to scratch this off really quick. We did just talk, like, throw a little bit of shade Tyrod Taylor's way a minute ago for getting benched. We didn't talk about his replacement quarterback in the quarterback section because I don't think that that's a thing that you would ever want to start.
No,
it
not
does
right
make
now,
me
at
wonder
least.
A little bit if what that means for McCoy, for Shady McCoy. Like, is he going to get more opportunities or is he just going to get slammed? Like, this feels like one of those moments where, I mean, we haven't projected at the top 10. I think that still totally makes sense. That's probably what's most likely to happen. But I do feel like he's become, a lot of people would say.
In Mathbox. Doesn't know that yet.
No, Mathbox absolutely doesn't know that because that happens. Yeah,
just
this
so
morning.
These predictions. McCoy at 8 his rank would certainly change a little bit if Mathbox knew that. So, I mean, they're playing the LA Chargers. Terrible against the run.
Right.
So the matchup is pretty choice, but, you know, I mean, you've got those two narratives.
Yeah.
Again,
I guess that I'm the type of person who sees that narrative and goes, volatility is up, not he's going to be awesome now. Or, you know what I mean?
The chance for being great and the chance for being awful are
both higher.
Yeah, both higher.
Yeah, the middle is much thinner for McCoy still. So keep that in mind when you're setting your lineup, that if you're looking for a running back two option, you may want to go with the safe bet if you have McCoy this week as your number one guy. Just a little bit of you know, human analysis there for you. Not really Mathbox based. I think that another interesting pair in the top 20, talking about Kamara and Ingram. Now, these guys are not as high as Kamara and Ingram, but Jerick McKinnon and Latavius Murray projected in the top 20 in both standard and PPR for us again this week.
With McKinnon way higher.
Which is interesting. McKinnon is a top 10 play.
I think it's looking at what McKinnon did the first 4 weeks, because he was crushing the first 4 weeks that he was playing. He had he was averaging like 25 points.
Yeah.
26 points in three out of four weeks or something. And he hasn't done as well lately. He hasn't gotten as many opportunities as Latavius Murray.
Right.
But Mathbox has still got Murray, you know, down at the bottom of RB2. And McKinnon, at least in PPR, is like number six.
Yeah.
So it's loving on McKinnon. You know, I have McKinnon in one league. I really believed in his talent more, and so does Mathbox. But the opportunity is just, he's in a more explosive player than Murray, but Murray's getting more carries.
I think that it's going to be they're both going to score around 12 points.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're going
to
wash
which
out.
Actually, to me, if they score points, at least to us, the player that we project to score 12 points in running back is Duke Johnson at number 12.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that at least in the way that our projected scoring works, that maybe those guys are both worth a start this week.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to be looking at Murray in the leagues where I have him as a kind of bench filler guy to see if I want to start him over, you know, for example, I have Carlos Hyde sitting in a league. Maybe I got to start Murray this week instead.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I think McKinnon's rank as six is very optimistic.
It's pretty rich. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty optimistic. I mean, I think both of them, and I think Murray at 19 is too low. So I'd probably just average them out, kind of like what you're saying.
Right. And so they're both like high-end RB2s.
They're starting, but, you know, they're not going to be the best running backs this week.
Yep. I got another weird pair for you.
Okay.
In the projections. Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell at 12 and 13, who we were just talking about a second ago.
Do we
in
have
PPR.
To talk about this?
Man, I you know, okay, so that's what Dave thinks about Duke Johnson and Isaiah Crowell, which is just to stare at me and have dead air on a podcast for 30 seconds.
I'm going to leave all that in, too.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you should add 10 seconds to it just so it gets awkward, and maybe put a cricket sound in there, too. Like, just put it all in there.
Okay, so
don't know what to think about that. Especially Isaiah Crowell.
No, I don't like that rank for Crowell. I mean, I might buy Duke Johnson in PPR
as a starter, RB2.
As an RB2 flex level guy, but
right.
At 12 seems a little bit high. I don't know. It depends on what you have, obviously. I would, if it was me, I would try not to start them.
Yep.
Just gut feel there.
I think that the league that I was talking about where I might be starting Murray, I have Johnson in that league too.
Okay.
So will you start Johnson or Murray this week in PPR?
I would start Murray.
Murray?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at, too.
It just feels more consistent.
I think
feels
so,
safer.
Too. Better team, of course, by like light years.
By a lot. Minnesota is good this year.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't need me to tell you that.
Yep, exactly. All right. So one person that I want to talk about really quickly that has a good standard scoring ranking and not a good PPR ranking. We have Adrian Peterson, I think, at 26 in PPR. But we have him at 12 in standard, I believe.
Yeah.
Double check rankings. Yep, number 12 in PPR or in standard this week. Sounds like we're believing he's back. and good and useful. I mean, he had that one week where he blew up a couple of weeks ago, and I told Chris that people should be cautious. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I buy, he's another one of these people who MathWax has as an RB1 that I probably buy more as an RB2 I would feel good about.
Yeah.
You know, I would hope that the team that I have that has Peterson on it would also have, maybe I got lucky and I have Ingram on that team mm-hmm. too. So I feel good about Ingram being my number one, but
I feel like the story with Peterson is just that they don't have much of an offense and they're pushing everything through him. So yeah. He's going to get a ton
of work. With Drew Stanton in there, basically?
Yeah, he got 37 carries in week 9.
Yeah, that's the week I was talking about with Chris.
And he had a decent amount of points, but that is an ungodly amount of carries. And he had,
especially for like a 33-year-old man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They don't care. They're going to run him into the ground. And he had 21 last week. So, but it didn't result in anything. So like he's very inefficient as a running back. He's going to need tons of volume to do anything. He had 3 points.
Yeah.
And he's playing against Houston, which is awesome against the run.
Yeah. So maybe
I would not start him.
Okay.
I feel like all the arrows are pointing towards no.
Down.
Yeah.
Yeah. I buy that. You want to talk quickly about Green Bay?
Sure. Yeah. Man, this is kind of a mess. I thought we were going to get some clarity with the situation. Aaron Jones was just
seemed like
take
he was
over.
Our guy.
Yeah, he was going to be the real running back there, and he was going to take it over. He was playing well, and he gets hurt, and now he's out 3 to 6 weeks. That news just came out yesterday, I think. Ty Montgomery's hurt too, and he's pretty questionable this week. So, top of the waiver wire articles for most people, Jamal Williams was up there. You know, he got a bunch of carries last week when Ty Montgomery was out. It's kind of too early for MathBox to have an opinion on him. We actually don't have him in the ranks, but he's 28 in ECR. They're playing Baltimore, which is really, Baltimore is not a good matchup. So I kind of just want to stay away from this situation.
And maybe he's like a grab and stash and see what happens.
Yeah, I feel like the whole thing is kind of messy, and I just don't want, I don't know.
To be clear, he was ranked 60th in our ranks this week.
So I didn't scroll down that far.
He was
far.
10 outside of our, we only publish our top 50, but he was on the sheet at 60.
Okay. So the point is, MathBox doesn't know about that situation enough to properly project him.
Right.
Because he's probably getting like 4 opportunities or something.
Exactly.
So.
Okay.
I'm saying no.
More cloudy situations. The Patriots.
Yeah. They've got like 3 running backs you can use.
Once again, they have 3 running backs. At your own peril,
you
can use those guys. As I feel like I learn every couple of years, I have to be reminded to stay away from Patriots running backs.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, they're all kind of useful.
Yeah.
Even Rex Burkhead, who had a good week last week.
Rex Burkhead is the one that I think was the waiver wire pickup that Clay and Chris spent some time talking about a couple days ago.
I picked him up in one league.
I think that he is an interesting pickup. He is actually pretty low, I think, on our rankings this week. Sorry, I had it here a second ago. He is 39th projected in our PPR rankings, for example, this week. I think he might be...
He should probably be higher than that.
Well, but here's the thing. MathBox has James White at 15th.
But, I mean, he's been the best one so far.
It's interesting. I think it's tough, but, like, I mean, I think if you probably can't grab James White at this point.
No.
I think, the matchup is actually very good against Oakland. So I think that you're probably going to have multiple people in your league taking shots on Patriots.
I think
backs
they're all
just to see what happens.
That's what I was going to say. I think they're all startable with the caveat that they may not be incredible, but like Burkhead and Lewis might just be flex guys that you hope put up, you know, respectable numbers. That offense is so powerful sometimes that it kind of doesn't matter who's playing.
Yeah.
If they're in the game, they're probably going to do something useful for fantasy.
Yeah. Do you think White's a start?
I think they're all probably starts.
Do you think White's a start as an RB2?
Maybe.
Or are you wanting all these guys in your flex?
I think they're all kind of flex starts.
Okay.
Just because I don't know, you know, they're the Patriots. You don't know what's going to happen.
It's true.
If they all end up with 12 points, I wouldn't be surprised.
There you go. Joe Mixon.
I think Matchbox is maybe even a little high on him. I think he's a flex at best.
Yep, agreed. Top 20 seems pretty optimistic for him.
Yeah.
At the same time, Chris Thompson, one slot below at 17, looking, you know, against a what's a good Saints running defense.
Yeah, I mean, you're really looking at the Rob Kelly injury and trying to figure out what the implications of that are.
Yeah, there's that. So, that needs to be factored into it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, but I feel like, okay, so if Rob Kelly is not in the game, Samaje Perine is probably going to take his spot, not Chris Thompson.
Right.
So just because of the style of play.
Yeah. And Thompson doesn't rank anywhere near this high in standard. He's one of those guys who's a lot lower. Actually, James White is much lower. I think Joe Mixon is actually lower in standard. So we're talking about PPR here right now.
Yeah. And I actually don't really like Perine. And Mathbox doesn't either. He's got 33.
Right.
And ECR is 34. So everyone is kind of saying he's not even worth it, even with the opportunities that should be added. I don't know if Thompson's role would change that much. Now, I still think he's pretty useful.
Yeah, I think especially in PPR,
he's certainly startable.
He's still startable. I think the last situation that we should talk about really quickly is Devonta Freeman.
Yeah,
who I think at this point has finally been ruled out.
Yeah,
for
I think
the
he's
week.
Out.
Although, you know, we're going to leave him in our ranks just so that people are reminded to keep an eye on him.
Well, it's a concussion, so it's weird. I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with him, but we're going to assume for this conversation that Devonta Freeman is out.
So Tevin Coleman ranks 25 in our rankings right now in PPR against a strong Seattle defense. What do you think? How do you feel about that?
I think Tevin Coleman's fine.
High-end RB2?
Yeah,
like he should maybe be five or six slots higher.
I think he's startable. I mean, I'm not as scared of Seattle as Seattle's actually kind of banged up too.
Yeah.
What's his face is out. What's his name? Their number one cornerback.
Oh, Sherman?
Sherman.
Yeah.
Sherman's out. There's a couple other guys that are banged up. I can't believe I can't. Why can I not remember one of the best cornerbacks in football's names?
Because we only talk about offensive players.
Yeah, because we only
podcast.
Talk about anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're kind of banged up in the secondary. Maybe that will affect their run game. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's easy choices here. If you look just ahead at Tevin Coleman on our rankings, I'm starting him over CJ Anderson, no problem.
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting
for
him
sure.
over.
CJ Anderson has kind of been worthless.
I think so, too.
I think
it's
he's almost
brutal the last 4 weeks. We had him. He has fallen in the Mathbox rankings from number 4 to number 8 to number 12. He's now at number 23.
You just can't
he's
do
just
anything.
Keep falling.
It's a true three headed monster. You just can't do anything with that backfield. It's so distributed between Booker and Charles and CJ Anderson that, like, they're all just kind of canceling each other
it's
out.
Also just distributed between Denver being a really underwhelming team,
really
as it's
not,
turned out this year,
not
unfortunately.
As good as you'd hoped.
Yeah. Brock Osweiler, the prodigal son, has not done anything to help them on his return trip.
No.
Yeah, so I'm easily starting Coleman over Anderson. I'm starting him over Orleans Darkwell, who has snuck into our RB2 territory in PPR.
Yeah.
It's another waiver wire guy we had earlier this year who I think is someone who's workable at flex, but I like Coleman better.
Yeah, I definitely like Coleman better.
I think that's
he's
about
a better running back, and he's more proven as a fantasy asset.
I think I put him a little bit closer to number 20 next to DeMarco Murray. So that's it for running backs. Okay, here we are. We're rounding the bend through the middle of the podcast to wide receivers now. Week 11 wide receivers is somewhat similar to week 11 running backs in the sense that there's not a ton of streaming options. The funny thing about this one, though, is that Dave did a somewhat thorough looking over of the expert consensus rankings versus Mathbox rankings this week. And you found what, Dave?
I found that they're actually pretty close in most situations. Like, you know, there are not that many surprises, but there are a few things that I think are worth pointing out, at least.
So give me a name.
Okay.
That stood out to you.
All right.
We're just going to pop around here, people.
Yeah, yeah.
Bang, bang, bang.
Okay, bang, bang, bang. I know we're sick of talking about him, but Jarvis Landry, Mathbox is still super high on him. Everybody else, I mean, he's like number 4 in PPR for us. This is all PPR, by the way.
Yep.
Expert consensus ranks has him at 18. he's been pretty good, but I don't, I mean, he doesn't deserve to be that high.
Right.
I think the correct answer is probably
in between.
In between or more. I think ECR might actually be more correct.
Although I will point out, very that's good like, matchup this week against Tampa Bay,
yeah.
Which is kind of like, hey, if we're ever going to get something out of,
it's this week.
Maybe it's, yeah. Maybe it's bad team versus bad team, kind of.
I mean, he's catching a ton of passes. He has not had a week this year where he's been below five.
Yeah, and that's worth something in PPR. Just
and
on
he's
its own.
Catching a touchdown like every single week. Right. So it's just...
Well, I will say, though, like we learned from Chris Hogan, that kind of stuff is probably destined to regress to the mean.
Yeah, you would say that, but it hasn't
but
for
he's
like
also,
7 weeks or
he's
6 weeks.
He's also not on the Patriots
something.
Where there's other right. options. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess if there's anyone who's going to be catching the ball in Miami...
You're probably
Landry
starting
is
him.
Still it.
That's the point is you're probably still starting
yeah,
him.
Yeah, we don't think he's worth top 10, but you're still starting him.
Yeah. So another one, Keenan Allen. MathBox, we have him at 10. ECR is about 21. I kind of don't buy 10. I think ECR is more accurate on this one just because he's basically been having about 10 points a week or bouncing around there.
Yeah.
Been pretty close, but his opportunities have been
so if he's been
pretty
10,
low.
If he's had 10 points a week, let's just say for scale in our projections.
Where does that land him?
That would put him at the mid-30s.
Yeah.
A 10-point wide receiver is in the mid-30s for our projections. So
yeah, so actually everybody is probably too high on him.
Right.
He just hasn't had that many chances.
Yeah.
So let me
hop to another guy with a bad quarterback
okay.
to talk about, and that's DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
DeAndre Hopkins was good with Deshaun Watson. Turns out he's still pretty good with Tom Savage.
Getting it done one way or another.
Yeah, it seems to be that way. And so in what's a really good matchup against Arizona, I don't have any worries about starting him as a number one wide receiver this week.
Yeah. Well, I think it might also be that kind of what I felt like was happening at the beginning of the year with Watson when before he just started lighting it up is that Hopkins is a good enough receiver that he's kind of the safety blanket for these weaker quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And this is probably what's going to continue to happen. So, I mean, he got 13 targets last week, which is
a lot of targets.
Yeah, I mean, look, it took 13 targets to get 7 catches and 110 yards or whatever
yeah,
it was.
Yeah.
So he had a decent week, but he's going to need a lot of volume with a crappy offense like
yep,
that.
Yep, that's fair.
Another guy that's getting a lot of volume is Sterling Shepard. We've talked about this a lot already. We're waiting for him to come back. He's doing just
fine.
He
did pretty much what we said he was going to do. We have him at wide receiver 23 this week.
Yeah.
He is facing the best matchup in Kansas City, like
awesome.
We were talking about during the quarterback segment. Kansas City, good offense, also a good matchup for offenses. So something to keep in mind.
I mean, you're starting him, even though Green Bay, even though the Giants are terrible.
Yes,
you're still starting him.
Yeah.
This is a really minor note. Dez Bryant has not been very good this year.
This is a minor note
minor
to all,
note.
All you Dez owners who paid for him. He has not been very good this year.
Yeah,
don't you think we know?
Yeah, I know.
You know I draft That's Dez fine. Bryant every year, and every year I'm disappointed.
He does have that effect.
He just got,
you just
he's a cool guy,
you,
and then
you want him to be. Yeah, you do want him to be way better than he seems to be, and it just I don't know if it's his attitude or if he gets hurt.
It's
or
not
what.
His attitude. It's just there's not as many opportunities as we think they are. In Dallas.
Yeah. Well, MathBox.
Don't give
it.
Don't give us any of that. You know, any of that ESPN stuff. Yeah. His attitude.
Yeah.
He's too busy making Galaxy 7 commercials to be able to be good at football anymore, right?
Yeah. He's whatever.
It's just not falling his way.
No, it's not. And MathBox actually has him at 22, which is actually that's flex territory.
Yeah.
So that's pretty.
Well, that's wide receiver 2 territory.
No, that's
24
flexed.
Should be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking 10 team league. You're thinking 12. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. All right.
Let's talk about Green Bay.
Green Bay. Yeah.
We have MathBox right now is keeping the faith with Green Bay. We have Jordy Nelson at 18 and Davante Adams at 20.
So
run away.
Yeah, run away. I feel like MathBox is not fully corrected for this. For the quarterback change, it had Jordy very high.
but last week was 7, I think.
Yeah, even. But it's it is knocking him way down. I mean, ECR on Jordy Nelson is 39.
Yeah, which is
so he's just like, don't start him.
Bananas.
It's bananas, but it's actually, I think it's true because he's basically done nothing in 3 games. Yeah. I mean, he's had like 15 targets.
Yeah.
This is nothing.
At any rate, Baltimore is a really rough matchup for wide receivers too, which makes me even cooler on those guys from where they are right now. They are actually the 2 wide receivers with the highest bad matchups that we have.
So
basically what I'm trying to say is everybody who's within the top 20 of our wide receivers has matchups that are much better than against the second best wide receiver defense, basically. So they are both in a bad quarterback situation, and they're also kind of in a worse situation than most of the other people on our list are as far as defense goes. So it makes me feel like those are definitely ripe to be have down our arrows this week.
Yep, I agree.
Do you want to talk about Amari Cooper ever again?
No, I'm done.
Good.
I'm done. We can just forget
about
him.
Top 20 against New England.
He should be like number 3, but he's like 18 or something.
So wide receiver 2 startable.
Yeah. Guys, I do want to talk about Minnesota. Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs.
Okay.
Yeah. Both Stephon Diggs just jumping right back in after the injury. We got him at 15.
Everybody somehow we have Adam Thielen above Stephon Diggs now.
He has been surprisingly good. I actually buy that. I think that's totally acceptable. I mean, they're going against the Rams, good defense. So you don't love that, but I just think Minnesota will be fine.
Yeah, we like him at 12 and 15.
Yeah. One guy that's kind of been surprising to me, Marquise Lee.
Yeah.
Now I think it's safe to say clear number 1 in Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You know, even though it's Blake Bortles, it's, you know, he's been doing really well.
Somebody's got to throw him the ball. He's got to throw the ball to somebody.
Yeah.
Can you hear me doing air quotes into the microphone right now? I mean, I've actually been starting Lee, so I've been watching him the last couple weeks.
Pickup.
He's been good. He was a good waiver wire pickup. He's helped me on teams where I drafted poorly a wide receiver, and I think that's kind of where it's at. It's not the best matchup this week. We have him at 30 overall, which means I'm going to be looking to flex him.
Yeah.
Or if you're in a weird league where you need extra wide receivers, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's been surprisingly good the last 4 weeks. Like, his totals 15, 11, 21, 19.
Yeah.
I mean, you're starting that guy.
We should talk about Robert Woods really quickly too.
Okay.
He was good.
Yeah, he was.
We have him at 29 this week.
I had him on 2 teams, 37
that's,
points.
That's pretty awesome. We have him at 29 this week. I think he is I feel more comfortable starting him than Marquise Lee this week.
Why is that?
Well, the matchup is better, and I also just think that Woods has a better quarterback.
He's a better track record too.
I like Jared Goff.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm a little more excited about that.
Yeah, I buy that.
Someone else to look at in this same tier again, who I think is owned, but you may not be thinking about starting, is Marvin Jones. Has been doing very well recently, except for last week.
Yeah, so, but he had some big games before that.
Yeah. So I think that it might be like if Galladay is injured or kind of looking questionable, or maybe out there as a quote unquote decoy, maybe Jones gets some more attention again.
Yeah. I mean, we know that he can do it when he gets the opportunities.
Yeah.
He did it in Cincinnati. Now he's doing it in Detroit. He'll be fine, I think.
Yeah. I think he'll be fine if you need somebody in the 30s as a wide receiver.
But he has a lot of upside too. Especially because of his touchdown potential.
He has this weird tendency to have monster games, which is true.
Mm-hmm. One guy that is not going to have a monster game, I think I can put my stamp down on this, is Kelvin Benjamin.
Okay.
He doesn't have a quarterback, and
what?
No one likes him anyway. So we have him at 36, and everybody else has him at 38. Nathan Peterson is starting, whoever that is, for Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah, we talked.
Yeah.
Yeah, the double benched Tyrod Taylor.
The double benched, yeah. Oh yeah, we already did cover that.
Yeah, that's okay. We didn't name him last time because he's another one of these quarterbacks who shows up who has literally the most boring name I've ever heard in my life.
Statistically, the most average name you could possibly have.
Nathan Peterman. So we made Brent Hundley into a country singer.
Yeah.
Who's Nathan Peterman?
I think he's just like some redheaded guy that you went to high school with. I think he's like not even on the map. He's just like some guy you knew. He was in like your math class. Or maybe you had Spanish with him.
Yeah.
He was in your study
group. And
you had
some like fun goofs with him in class. And then
once you graduated, you haven't thought of this guy.
You didn't even see him after sophomore year.
No, yeah. He's just gone.
Yeah. You're like, what happened to Nathan Peterson?
So vanilla. Yeah. Just nothing.
I totally agree. That's much better than what I was going to say. So
we'll just stick to that.
Yeah. Let's just move on. So that's it for wide receiver. Like we said, it's pretty much kind of the way that the industry has put it, for at least for the way that MathBox sees it, which is equally fascinating to us as when there's a bunch of differences. And finally, blissfully, onto tight ends, our favorite position to talk about.
The best position.
The best.
Other than kicker, it's the best position.
Yeah. You guys should tune in for our special kicker podcast that's coming out tomorrow, Friday afternoon.
Oddly, we have more listeners, more downloads on that podcast than we do of all the other
positions.
It's
not a real niche.
Yeah. It's strange. I don't know.
It's called the Kicker's Jamboree.
Well, that's so stupid.
But it's funny. It's a funny... Jamboree is a funny word.
It is. That's a great word. It is not as good... You know what my new favorite word is?
Okay.
I learned this in France. My new favorite word...
You know I like words.
I know you do. That's why I'm telling you this. Okay. If you be quiet, I'll tell you what it is.
Yeah.
Pamplemousse.
Pamplemousse. You learned that in France?
Well, I'd heard the word before, but I never actually cared enough to learn what it meant.
So have you been drinking Pamplemousse LaCroix?
No.
And without knowing what flavor it was?
I cannot stand LaCroix.
Okay.
First of all, but I haven't been noticing it on everyone else's LaCroix.
So you've just been staring at people in your office thinking that there was some weird word on their can of LaCroix?
I never noticed it before I went to France, and it was everywhere, but say that word.
Pamplemousse.
Yeah, it's great.
It
just rolls off the tongue. But you have to say it with like a Texas accent, this isn't even Texas, but you have to say it
I can't wait for this accent.
No, you have to say it like Pamplemousse.
I don't know what that accent is.
I don't know what it is either. It's just fun.
It's not French.
Don't think about it.
It's not a French accent.
Pamplemousse.
Okay.
Pamplemousse.
It's a little Family Guy, that accent that you just did. Okay. Well, anyway, tight ends.
We could talk about football if you want.
Yeah, let's talk about football. All of our little favorite Pamplemousses are back off of bye. So, the rankings look a lot more normal this week as far as, last week things looked a little crazy because Kelsey and Ertz were on bye and now they're back and they have rightfully assumed their position at the top of the rankings once again.
Yeah,
they are number one and number three with Gronk in between, making a good Gronkowski sandwich.
As it should be. That's a weird way to say it, but all right, we'll roll with that.
Yep.
And Jimmy Graham right after him.
Makes a ton of sense, too.
At four, that seems fine. Jared Cook at number five.
Yeah.
A little high. It's the first one that I thought was maybe a little unexpected, but his matchup is so good against New England, and he's actually been not Jared Cook like this year.
He's been not terrible.
He's not been terrible,
which is saying a lot for a tight end, honestly, just because there's, once you get past those top four guys, there's so much variance in the scoring. I think that there's a good chance that this is someone, I don't think Jared Cook, I mean, maybe I should double check really quickly right now. Let's see how much Jared Cook is owned. And he is owned in 74% of leagues, so he's not necessarily the most streamable person.
He is solidly not streamable.
But this is a person. This is a player where maybe you are trying to decide who to start between him and Hunter Henry. And I think at this point, Dave would probably be starting Cook over Henry.
I really wanted it to work out for Henry. We've talked about this too much. He's been real bad the last couple of weeks. He's just so inconsistent. I can't trust him.
Yeah. I would start Cook over Charles Clay, who a lot of people really liked earlier. Clay is just inside of our top 12. I think even with the quarterback change, Clay is probably going to be fine. I mean,
I agree. I just think, he needs to get his you know, feet on solid ground and play some football, and we'll see what happens. But
provided he starts, right?
Yeah. If he's going to play, I think he'll probably be fine in a week or two. Yeah. No guarantees for this week.
But I think one thing that's worth mentioning that we didn't, because we didn't get a chance to talk about Kelce, is that Kelce, much like the rest of the people from Kansas City that we've talked about this week, are up against the best matchup this week when they're playing New York Giants.
The team
that gives up the most points to tight ends.
Yeah, Kelce, Gronk, and Ertz have great matchups.
Yep.
So
look for those guys to just go crazy.
I have a tight end confession.
Is it about Pamplemousse?
It is not. It has nothing to do with Pamplemousse as far as I know.
Okay.
I recognize that Greg Olsen was coming back from IR week 12.
Yeah.
I dropped Jordan Reed.
Oh, wow.
Just straight up dropped him for Greg Olsen. And I'm not feeling bad about it.
I don't think I would be feeling bad about it either.
No.
It's looking again like Jordan Reed is most likely not going to play. Once again, we've left him in our rankings just in case he does, so people can see where he would be projected to perform. We got the little red cross on him in the article.
And in his Google Maps.
Yeah, and in his Google Map location. If you try to find my friends with him, track his location, it's just a red cross floating around. But I only bring it up because I think that means that Vernon Davis is actually once again,
yeah, he's
totally
he's
startable,
pretty useful,
totally top 12, a good guy.
He's been solid,
etc. I think that that's the last person that we were talking about in tight ends really quickly is Austin Hooper from Atlanta. Yeah. We have Austin Hooper at 16th.
He's probably the only legit pickup for this week.
I think at tight end. Most likely correct.
Because his usage has been pretty solid the last couple of weeks. I mean, the matchup with Seattle is not ideal. They're pretty strong against a tight end. Or actually, sorry.
They're the other way around. Yeah.
It's better than you think it is. They're surprisingly weak at tight end for how good their defense is. And maybe that'll be even better for the tight ends because their secondary is banged up.
Yeah, so, and Hooper is owned in just a shade over 50% of leagues. He's owned in 50.7% of leagues from what we see. So I think that Dave's right that he's probably the main person that you want to be looking for if you're looking to stream a tight end this week.
Yeah, anybody else that's good is probably owned at this point.
Taken. Even, you know, I was looking at this list for streaming options. Even Jason Witten is in the 70s percentage-wise of being owned. So something to keep it is continuing to be slim pickings at tight end, but there's a name for you if you need it. So, week 11.
There you go.
Are you looking forward to week 11?
Of course. Oh. I look forward to every week.
That's perfect. How are you? Are you in the hunt in your league still?
I have two leagues where I've crawled out of the gutter.
Okay.
And I'm fighting for playoff spots. I'm like kind of right in the middle. Yeah. My points scored are good. They're solid, but I've been a little bit unlucky, so I'm kind of fighting there in the middle. I have one league, like I just mentioned earlier, where I'm 8-2. And then I have another league, the David Johnson League. Terrible. I'm actually in last place. I'm 2-8.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm similar. I'm very close to 500 with all my leagues, except for I have a 7-3 team. So I'm kind of in the playoff hunt still. We're still trying to figure out what we're going to do next week as far as Thanksgiving goes. Clearly, we're going to try to release a podcast before Thanksgiving because there's games on Thanksgiving. It may mean that we'll have to figure out what our editorial calendar is looking like. We might have to squeeze a little bit on the waiver wire pickups and focus more on the projections. We'll talk with the team and see what they want to do to try to make it happen.
Yeah, we'll figure out something.
But as we sign off, remember, we'd love to hear from you, hear from any of you who are listening to this podcast. If you want to reach out to us, Dave or I, or Chris or Clay, or anybody who works for Fantasy Outliers, you can send us an email at podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. That's podcast@fantasyoutliers.com. I'm going to run through the list of links that we have now that we've kind of consolidated things in a way that's easier to remember and bookmark and all that kind of stuff. So,
yeah,
there's three different links that you can use to find us really easily. Dave,
what are those links?
Would you like to guess what they are?
I would say they probably have to do with the word ranks.
Yep.
And projections.
Yep.
And Fantasy Outliers.
Yeah. And the third one, the third word is articles.
Oh.
So if you would like to find our writing, our Medium blog, you no longer have to mess around with medium.com and all that kind of stuff. We set up a nice redirect. If you go to articles.fantasyoutliers.com, you will go directly to our overview page on Medium and see all the articles we have published right now. If you go to ranks.fantasyoutliers.com, you will go to our latest analysis and ranks article. Basically, the content of this podcast made article form is there for you to check out, including additional insights from Clay. If you go to projections.fantasyoutliers.com, you can get the uncut data, have a look around, get your own spreadsheet, mess around with opportunities, see what our kind of error bars are for different parameters and things like that.
You can delete Jordan Reed if you want.
Yeah, just take him right out of the rankings. Just take anybody out that you don't want. Please make a copy of the sheet before you do that. Mm-hmm. Don't do that to the master sheet. Chris will come and find you if that happens. So easy places to find us. The other place that you can find us, of course, is on social media. We're mostly a Twitter company, although we do put out a fair amount of kind of posts on Facebook. So give us a like on Facebook, follow us. That's great. On Twitter, you can find us on Sunday mornings, live tweeting at the hashtag fantasy football advice. We'll be looking for people. You can tweet at us and we will give you answers in real time.
Lovely.
So all the places you can find Fantasy Outlier content on a weekly basis. All right. So signing off for this week. Hope everybody has good luck. Hope nobody loses by a quarterback kneeling down in victory formation. I'll never forget the gleam in Dave's eye when he said victory formation. And
it's the extent of my football knowledge.
That's a deep cut. And that's it. So this is Dave signing off.
This is Pamplemousse signing off.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.